You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. It's all O's all the time. And guys, I'm your host, Justin McGuire, but today I'm going to be handing the show over to a special guest host. In fact, this is the first time we've had a guest host, and it's Kyle J. Andrews of 105.7 The Fan. Kyle's been a guest on the show several times, and today he's going to talk about Orioles prospects, including the guys they picked up in the recent trades of Manny Machado, Zach Britton, and others. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey folks, just a reminder, for all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. And of course, for all your content on the Baltimore Orioles, make sure to go to LockedOnOrioles.com.
I'm your guest host, Kyle J. Andrews, and today we will specifically talk about the Orioles' top prospects, the ones that have been traded recently, and some of the guys that have been in the system already. So let's just get this started with just an overview of what's been going on with the O's so far. Orioles have not been playing too well. I mean, that's evident. They're not going to be playing too well for the foreseeable future if, you know, some of these prospects don't pan out. So these guys right now, just to, you know, give everybody just a clear picture of where they're at, they're 49.5 games out of 500 currently, you know, on this August 16th date. So they're not coming back anytime soon. This team looks like one of those teams that, you know, I don't know if anyone's familiar with those Houston Astros that, you know, lost, I think it was 100 games plus for three straight years before they actually came back to relevance. So this Orioles team kind of looks like that Houston Astros team, albeit they did have a little bit more talent. I know specifically Zach Britton, when he was traded, he discussed some of the things that were going on with the club, and it just seemed like the team wasn't in sync like they usually are. So that's just one thing. And then you had Kevin Gausman, who pretty much reiterated the same thing on 105.7, where I'm actually a, you know, sports update person there. I mean, just to put it bluntly, but, you know, there we had two players that specifically, you know, had key marks on this team through their playoff runs. So with that being said, you have two guys that were so integral. And then also Manny Machado as well. All these players have said the same thing. They said that there needs to be a change of culture, possibly with the team. People didn't really see eye to eye. Things weren't really, I guess, communicated very well. So many guys that were on those free agent contracts, they were becoming free agents at the end of the season. So, you know, with that being said, you had to change some things over with this team. It's not that this team didn't have any talent, because I definitely believe that the team had the talent, but they just couldn't capitalize with some of the issues that were going on, not necessarily in a clubhouse, but in the front office. You didn't have, you know, long-term deals with your GM. You didn't have a long-term deal with your manager. You didn't have a long-term deal with Adam Jones, Manny Machado, Brad Brock, Zach Britton, and other players. So when you have issues like that, it's going to cause some need for change. And maybe not necessarily huge wholesale changes. Maybe it's a change in the philosophy of the team. And that's what they've been doing so far. Specifically, they've invested more money in international sign-in bonuses. They've invested more money in scouting recently. They've had scouts all over the place. So this is very good news for Orioles fans out there who have griped about some of the issues that have gone on with their signings internationally, with their scouting department, with their organization. The organization has gotten better. Maybe these aren't the guys that pop, you know. The only person that they've acquired in the past couple of weeks that was a top prospect per se was Yusniel Diaz. when it came to the Manny Machado trade. He was the only top 100 guy, but at the same time, they've gone for this, you know, quantity over quality. But you do need those prospects. You do need a litany of prospects that will give you that opportunity to win some games down the line. Maybe these guys are diamonds in a rough. And that's one thing that I've seen with some of the depth that they got now, more so than what they had before, is that these guys, maybe they might be a little bit more raw, but you can kind of mold them if you do put those, you know, things in place to get them to be better players. And I know people are going to say, well, we don't really trust the Orioles organization to develop these guys, especially the pitchers. But the thing is, when you get guys like Bruce Zimmerman, who, you know, was acquired in that trade with the Braves, he's just another guy that he just pitches. He might not be a top 30 prospect for the Orioles, but he's a guy that pitches. He's a hometown guy. He has a smooth delivery. He's not overpowering or anything, but that's the kind of guy that you want on the team. You want a control guy, and who better to, you know, acquire pitching prospects from than the Braves? You know, the Braves, they know their pitching. This kid's been specifically good. He went to Loyola in Maryland. So if anybody's familiar with that high school, I went to Mount St. Joe, just a sidebar. We played football against them. We threw shot put against them. We played baseball against them. They were one of our rivals in our conference. And when Bruce Zimmerman was there, he was a very specifically, you know, good pitcher. And I think that he's going to continue to do that when he rises up through that rank. He might not, like I said, he might not be one of the most heralded guys. He's a very unheralded guy, but he's proven in this season specifically. He's played with three teams right now. So, I mean, he also has, like, I'm looking at his stats right now for the entire season. He has a 2.81 ERA. And his, you know, he has a 1.192 whip. So this kid can pitch. He's been able to pitch at every level that he's been in. You know, I just think that when you have a guy like that who isn't even showing up on a top 30 prospects that could make an impact down the line as a starter for the Orioles, that's a very good thing to have. And so I just want to say that he is, you know, an honorable mention for this rundown of some of the prospects. Now we'll get into the prospects that have shown up on that top 30, other than UCL Diaz. And right now, some of the guys that they didn't even have to acquire, Ryan Mountcastle is their third baseman down at Bowie right now. He's not the best of fielders, but his bat is so good that one day he will find a spot on the team. You just don't know which position he'll play. Will he play second base down the line because he has a below average arm? Or will he continue to stay at third base? Will he try to continue to build his arm? Will he go to left field? Who knows? I mean, specifically, you just have to find this kid a bat. Like, if he could just DH, that would be perfect. But, you know, with Chris Davis at first base, how long will you have to take before Ryan Mountcastle becomes that guy? You know, because you will want to switch. You will want to slide Trey Mancini down to first. You will want to try to move Trumbo's contract at that point. And then when you have that outfield space, you move some of these top prospects that they have, you know, Yusnel Diaz, Austin Hayes, and maybe they acquire, and then you also have Cedric Mullins, who's up now. Cedric Mullins has been a pretty good player down in the minors as well. So, I mean, at that point, you're going to try to find that position for Ryan Mountcastle. I mean, you should be very excited about his bat. Currently, he's slashing .308, .359, with a .494 slugging percentage, and he has 12 home runs on the season and 85 games and 381 at bat. So, you have a guy that can do all those things with his bat. He wields the bat. like it's Thor's hammer. So that's a very good thing for the O's down the line. You just don't know which position he'll play. So I just wanted to reiterate that. And then you have the aforementioned Austin Hayes. Austin Hayes was hurt most of the season this year. Right now, he's currently batting .332 with a .262 on base percentage, .384 slugging percentage, and he has 7 home runs on the season. This isn't the usual Austin Hayes. He had to deal with injuries. He had to deal with some changes to his swing from Brady Anderson. So when you're trying to adjust, and I don't think that was the smartest thing to do with the mess with someone's batting when they're doing so well down in the minors, I don't see the worth in that. I just didn't think that was a good move on their part. But they, you know, they did what they did, and maybe they'll go back to try to let players do what they do best. Because when they try to change up everything, it causes issues like that. And I mean, you go from having in 2018, you know, I mean, well, in 2017, Austin Hayes was a much better hitter down in the minors. He was batting .330, .367, and .594. So when you have that kind of hitting and then you alter his swing, that just causes so many issues that the Orioles, they can't afford to have. They can't afford to miss on a lot of these prospects, because if they do, this team will be doomed for a long period of time. They don't have that many guys that are ready right now. But these first line of guys like Austin Hayes, like Ryan Mountcastle, Yusniel Diaz, they have to pan out, you know, if they want that future to be established. They still have some good pitching prospects down in the minors, down in the lower minors. I know I'm going to touch on DL Hall and Grayson Rodriguez for a little bit, but they also, you know, DL Hall he's been lights out down in the Delaware. I mean, down in the Delmarva. So with a .224 ERA, and then he has a .120 WHIP. So he's just a guy that's going to go out there and pitch. He's very smooth. He does everything the right way. He's a lefty. That's the kind of guy you want in your rotation down the line. But, you know, MLB Pipeline right now, they say that his ETA is 2021. So we're talking about 3 years that the Orioles might be kind of wallowing in, you know, that kind of purgatory when it comes to their play. So, I mean, he might not be ready, but the Orioles probably won't be ready to win until then anyway. And then you have Grayson Rodriguez, who his ETA is 2022. And right now, through 8 games and 16.1 innings, you can't take too much stock in the 16.1 innings, but he has a 1.65 ERA, so, and a 1.35 WHIP. So, I mean, these are guys down the line that'll give you something. I think when it comes to guys that are going to give you something quicker, you got Dylan Tate, Luis Ortiz, Hunter Harvey. And those are the next kind of line of guys that could make those, you know, they could make those strides. You have Dylan Tate, who right now, I mean, he's in 3 games with the Bowie Bay Sox. He has a 7.27 ERA. Obviously not too much taken in there. It's only 3 games. But when he was in Trenton, he had a 3.38 ERA and a 1.11 WHIP. So he's... I guess getting used to the league. Dylan Tate is a guy that was a fourth overall pick in 2015. He can pitch. I mean, he has the ability to, you know, yeah, he can have those times where he does kind of mess up with his mechanics. They kind of mess with this. They tweaked his mechanics a little bit. It's caused a little bit of issues with just, I guess, delivery and everything. But when you do fix that, he has the arm talent. He has that fastball that's rated at a 60, a slider at a 55, changeup 55. You know, his overall is a 50. when it comes to, I guess, his scouting grade. And so he is, you know, his fastball sits at 93 to 50, 95, and tops out about 98. So he has a good fastball plus fastball. And then his hard slider and changeup are becoming plus offerings as well. So these are very encouraging things. You also have Luis Ortiz, like I mentioned before. He was another guy that was drafted by Texas, but in 2014 in the first round. And he was drafted in he was drafted 30th. And so he's another guy that could figure down the line not too long from now. Actually, he could be up at the end of the season during September call-ups because his ETA is 2018. And his ERA, he's in Norfolk right now. His ERA through three games is 2.18. And when he was with Biloxi, he had a 3.71 ERA. So this is a guy that will be up very soon. Probably, if he's not on the team in September, he will be on the team sometime next year. That's no doubt in my mind if he doesn't get hurt. And then when you got Hunter Harvey, who was called up earlier this season but didn't pitch, he struggled this season. He's had a couple issues with injuries in the past and in the present. I mean, he's been ineffective this season with a 5.57 ERA in nine games. And then, you know, he's only pitched 32.1 innings. So that's not going to give you that much. He has a 1.39 whip. So he hasn't given you too much to grade out this season. But he does have that fastball that sits from 92 to 95 and sometimes reaches 96 to 97. He also commands both sides of the plate, which is good because his delivery is very smooth. Obviously, his dad was a closer, Brian Harvey. So, you know, when you have that kind of background when it comes to pitching, your delivery usually tends to be a little bit smoother. You're a mechanics guy. And he also has had that training that if he does end up being healthy and he has a full healthy season under his belt, Hunter Harvey can turn some heads. So they have some guys that are down on the farm right now, pitching prospects wise, that could give you something down. I mean, a little bit further down the line, maybe not as soon as some people would hope, but you know, that's to be expected. It's not the end of the world with this team. I mean, not yet anyway. So that's just one thing that I want to try to touch on is that this team, yes, they have a lot of holes right now. Yes, they have pitching issues. Yes, they have infield issues. Yes, they have issues in the outfield. Yes, their catching situation isn't the brightest right now. But at the same time, it's going to take a little bit of, you know, grooming these guys down on the farm, changing the philosophy. And that's something that they've stepped in to try to do. Dan Duquette has looked like he wants to, you know, alter some of those problems that they've had in the past with international signing bonus money, acquiring more of that. They have a chance to get Victor Mesa, who is a top prospect down in Cuba. So if he does come to the Orioles, he'll become the Orioles' top prospect. He'll probably be in the minors just for a little bit, if at all. But at that same time, you get him, you spend some of that money on him. Maybe you sign his brother as well. You know, down the line, the Orioles have a very formidable team. And so if they can do that, if they do spend that international bonus money, if they do invest in scouting, you know, down on the farm, you know, trying to acquire guys, maybe moving a Mark Trumbo during the waiver trade deadline, maybe, you know, looking into seeing if you can move someone else. I think that Mark Trumbo is the guy. If you do want to move at the waiver deadline, you go ahead and do it. Some team needs a bat. I don't think he'll be the best option for teams, but if a team gets desperate enough, why not dangle him out there? Why not, you know, go out and scout at those lower levels and try to acquire some people? Because to be completely frank, the Orioles have traded some guys that have, you know, pitched pretty well, who have hit pretty well down in those minor league systems that they've traded. And that's caused a little bit of issues when it comes to, you know, their prospects and their prospect system. They just move guys willy-nilly just because maybe it'll give them a quick fix, but they haven't really tried to fix those things as a whole. And I feel like when you have that issue of moving guys prematurely just because maybe you may have a chance, and it's not necessarily the chance, it's not a 2014 situation where you need to go for it. You need to try to win right now. They don't have that opportunity in the near future. They didn't have that opportunity, you know, 2015, 2016, 2017. You're going and acquiring guys like Gerardo Parra in 2015, giving up good prospects. They gave up Zach Davies. That just wasn't an intelligent move. Gerardo Parra was having a solid season. Don't get me wrong. He was having a very good season. But when you move those prospects, that causes issues down the line. Maybe unforeseeable issues to some in the organization. But to me, those issues are obvious. They are obvious. They are obvious. You cannot move guys that are good prospects for just quick fixes, for guys that are going to be rentals, for guys that aren't going to be, you know, the top guys. Why would you move Josh Hader? I understand how people feel about Josh Hader, but, you know, why would you move him for Bud Norris? And I understand Bud Norris had a very good season in 2014, but in 2013, he wasn't that great. And then you continue to gut your farm system for okay guys that you acquire or guys that didn't live up to those expectations. I know everybody always talks about how the Orioles traded Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop for Scott Feldman. That was an absolute finesse on the level or on the side of the Cubs. The Cubs finessed the Orioles. So many teams finessed the Orioles in trades. And I think that era of the Orioles being finessed in trades is coming to an end. So buckle up your seatbelts. I understand that it's going to be a rough ride, but if they do things the right way and they continue to fix their organizational problems when it comes to depth, just pure depth, we're not even talking about the top upper echelon prospects, but just having that depth that you get a bunch of good guys on the team. You don't need to have exceptional players. But if you do have a lot of good prospects and you can package those prospects down the line, let's say the Orioles get up to like 10th when it comes to their top prospects, then they have an opportunity down the line to keep acquiring guys. So that is a very good thing to have down the line. That is very, very good. I'm Kyle Andrews, and I just wanted to let you all know that it was a great opportunity to guest host this show for Justin today. It's just been a whirlwind with some of the things that have been going on with the Orioles. But, you know, this has been a great opportunity. Thank you, Justin. I'm Kyle Andrews, and you can follow me on Twitter at KyleAndrews1994. Like I said before, I'm on 105.7 The Fan. I've also begun to start writing for, you know, more blogs when it comes to Ravens. I know this is an Orioles blog, but I'm usually Ravens stuff right now. I have had a past of covering the Orioles on a consistent basis with Fox Sports 1340. I'm no longer with them, but I am with 105.7 The Fan locally here in Baltimore. So if you have an opportunity, go check out 1057thefan.com. You can catch some of my blogs there, especially when it comes to Ravens, but I do write Orioles things as well. I do still attend games. I still watch. So thank you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.